Blog Talk Radio.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk.
Jump on it, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926, our special guest tonight, Polo Baby, and my man Jonathan. Listen, Jonathan is a Harvard rapper, very interested. Listen, I bumped into both of these dudes on Clubhouse, my favorite place right now, specifically Clubhouse Elites, which is, to me, hands down, number one room. On Clubhouse, Polo Baby And I don't even want to mess up Jonathan's last name, so we just call him Jonathan, and I'll let him pronounce his own last name. Guest tonight inside the Social Lab. Listen, if you're wondering where your STEMI is, it sounds like it's on the way. Where's that STEMI check? I'm sure some of y'all are like, where is it? I need it. I need it right now. Where is it? Listen, it's a different ball game this time, folks. Everybody's not getting a check. I'm not getting a check. I didn't get the first one or the second one. You know, I'm a little salty. But it's okay. You listen to this show, you know I'm salty about it. But everybody's not getting a check this time. It sounds like it's cut off around 75,000. First time it was cut off at 99,000. So, you know, this time they're like 75,000, which I think is fair. You know, you shouldn't get a check really unless you need it. And some of us are becoming way too dependent on the government when we need to just get out here and get it, like my guy Polo Baby. Listen, he's getting it. Before we go any further, let me just go ahead and bring him into the discussion. Hey, thanks for stopping past tonight, Bobo. You just heard it. The joint is fire. Your energy, your vibe, bro, which is why I wanted to have you on tonight. Polo Baby, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for stopping in, bro.
No problem.
Bro, you brought him left cheek, right cheek. You told him. You brought him get it, girl. And now you got workout hope. And the energy is ridiculous, bro. It's all about attitude, Polo. I tell artists all the time, bro. I tell it's some artists out here, bro. They're so talented, but they have no attitude, bro. And because they have no attitude, they don't understand. Like, that's the missing element. You can be fire, but if you don't have the vibe, if you don't have no attitude with that talent, you really ain't nowhere. Polo, introduce yourself officially to the folks and let them know where you are tonight in the country.
What's up with y'all? I go by Polo Baby. I'm an artist straight out of Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson, Mississippi. You out there near P Valley?
Yeah, I'm actually gonna have my y'all be the first to know, the first I ever saw on the interview recently back in September. They had did a thing where they were looking for artists in Mississippi to play their music on the show. And recently I got the email back. They are using four of my songs in the season two. So y'all be on the lookout for it. So I will be, my music will be featured in P Valley season two.
Wow. And hey, you heard it first right here on the Social Lab, TMI Radio. Hey, congratulations, bro. That's big business right there. And I think it's a reflection of the work that you're putting in, Polo. Man, I just saw your readout you posted, your IG readout showing your insights on IG. Like, what the fuck is what I said to myself. Like, what? Hey, and so clearly, you know what I'm saying, we're in the right place, right? I mean, you got the sauce.
Right.
But, I mean, let's go back a minute. Where did the whole Polo Baby concept come from? And, like, how did you get into this music game? Because your twerk vibe is ridiculous. I've seen you turn some very calm women into animals with your music. Where did this come from?
Well, as far as my name goes, my great grandpa's father, who passed away when I was in ninth grade, he called me Polo since I was little. And over time, when I got in like middle school and high school, I wore the number Polo because of it. So after he passed away, I was already rapping around the town when I was like 13 up until now. So when I became 16, I wanted a name that was going to stick. So I wanted something. I didn't want to be like the generic, you know, the little Polo, big Polo, whatever. Okay, I wanted something that would be like something different but going to catch on. So I wanted to be called Polo Baby, but I wanted it to be different. So I spelled it B-A-Y-B-E. As far as the twerk music, I grew up on Beat King and K Stylus. And in Mississippi, we don't really have like jigging music. We have more so like, I mean, we had like twerk music, but it's like the shakedown type music from Louisiana. So it went like no full out twerk songs being played in Jackson, unless it was Beat King K Stylus. And it, at that time, it was mostly the old Beat King K Stylus. So I told myself, if I'm going to be serious with this rapping, I didn't want to be a generic rapper either. Like, you know, talking about shooting up somebody, killing somebody, trapping out the house, all that type of stuff. I wanted to bring back the 90s to the 2010, 2016 type of vibe. We had, like, you know, Soulja Boy, Roscoe Dad, Travis Porter, Young L.A., like, all the damn movement that was going on. So I decided to branch out and basically bring back twerk music, and that's basically what I did from then to now.
Yeah, you definitely did that, bro. You definitely did that. And there's no vibe like the 90s vibe. You know, I've been into hip-hop for a long time, you know, mostly really, you know, coming up in 90s hip-hop. And, man, it's like when you think about the shift in music in the various genres, you said it, man. I mean, everybody always wants to go back or reflect back on the 90s. Hey, Polo, who's been your greatest influence in music?
Beat King.
One more time.
Beat King.
Beat Kings. Why the Beat King?
Beat King.
I thought I heard that, but for folks who don't follow Beat Kings or who may not know, expand. Expound a little bit.
Well, with Beat King, he was my big influence because, you know, me being a heavy set artist, you know, I kind of had like low self esteem growing up. So around 2010, when Beat King first came out with what that was, Chris, it was like, you know, people told me I looked like him. And then, you know, he made twerk songs. So it was like I kind of gravitated to him as an artist. Also, like, you know, studying him, like, you know, getting my ideas from, like, okay, he said a lot of crazy stuff in his songs, and it makes sense and it catchy. And that's kind of like what I wanted to do. I wanted to, like, some stuff that probably would go over people's head, but it would be funny. At the same time, it would make sense and come with a catchy chorus. So that's why I say he influenced me.
No doubt. No, absolutely. I get it. Where do you see yourself 3 to 5 years from now as an artist? Because, man, I see a trajectory that is going somewhere. But where do you see yourself 3 to 5 years from now?
3 to 5 years, I see myself really being at my prime in my career, like finally being in the industry up there with, like, Megan Thee Stallion, The Baby, Little Baby, and all them, probably on my third or fourth hit single, charting Billboard 100, probably be out there for, like, you know how some of them stay up for like weeks or months around it.
Nice. Drop your social right now, because I know that you are on IG, you're on Twitter, you're on SoundCloud, you're on YouTube, you're on Apple Music, clearly Facebook, you're all over the place. You know, let folks know how they can follow you and actually get your music right now.
All right, well, my Instagram is PoloBabyOfficial. That's Polo, B-A-Y-B-E-E, official. Twitter _PoloBaby, BAYBEE, and all platforms Polo_BAYBEE, first name, last name. And you can find all my twerk songs. I have more than just twerk songs, by the way. I got twerk songs, I got some turn up songs, I got some love songs, I got some breakup songs, I got some song to get you in the mood. I got anything you want all at once. So just tap in with me if you're trying to work, try to get a feature, book me or anything, just DM me on Instagram. I ain't no bougie artist. I will follow you back. I will show love. You DM me. You just want to have a conversation. We can do all of it.
And I absolutely can confirm, very laid back, down to earth artist. Now, Polo, I follow you on IG, man, and I mean your content is lit. You also talk about postings, and because you do support other artists and folks and what they got going on, help people understand like the services that you provide as an artist as well, specific to social media.
Oh yeah, so like what I be doing mostly on my Instagram page is like I know a lot of people, especially artists, they be trying to get, you know, more exposure and stuff. So basically what I do promo every day. Like, you know, if you want to get the paid post, you know, I do a paid post. It stay at the 12 o'clock the next day. Story post every 24 hours. And, you know, I got a package if you want both. I also do, if you want to get like a month or two, a promo, you know, then DM me, we'll discuss the price and everything. And also what I do with features, like, if somebody hit me by doing a feature, unlike most artists, I'm not just going to just take their money, do the feature, and go to my business. With my features, I would do, you know, I don't know why I do the verse, I will promote it. I got my own promo team, the Twerkers. I had to make a video to it. I will get the song sent out to all the DJs down here. Of course, you know, I do the video appearance. And also, like, say, for instance, if you come to my city or if I come to your city and I'm doing a show, I will hit you up like, hey, I got a show in your city, or hey, you in my city, hit me up, and I'll have you perform it. And, yeah, that's how you get the feature.
That's how you get a feature done, folks. That's how you get exposure. Now, I didn't want to lead with this because I wanted you all to understand that Polo Vandy was an artist, but he's also a businessman. And what he just really talked about is really the fact that, you know, he's an influencer, folks. You know, you hear a lot about influencing, but as a influencer myself in a different arena, this is a social media influencer, a real influencer, okay, a blue check, verified influencer. A lot of folks are running around trying to pay to get the blue check, right? But it's an organic way to get the blue check because you need people who are really going to respond to you, really react to you, right? Polo, help them to understand the power of your blue check, baby.
Well, first, before we get into it, I just want to tell people out there, you cannot, I can't stress this enough because people ask me, you cannot buy a blue check. I don't know where they came about. If anybody ever did with y'all, they're going to be trying to scam y'all out some money. So anybody that come to you about a blue check, kind of buy it, don't go for it. It's a scam. But the power of blue check, since I got mine back in 2019 while I got workout, it opens a lot of doors. Like, I mean, you know, it's like another level on Instagram. Like, you know, certain celebrities that you couldn't get in contact with, like, they'll probably respond to you more because you got a blue check. If you comment on somebody's stuff, like my boy LME Tucci, who's over Clubhouse Elite. He said, you know, if somebody who don't have blue check, say for instance, I go come in and two other people with a blue check go come in, it benefits you to you when you pin it because it'll help your engagement and it will also like put you on his propane, and Tucci explained it. Two is Tucci. Like, you know, like I said, yeah, that's my boy. That's Tucci. Two, it's like, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like, when you have a blue check, so much traffic comes to your page. Like, when I first got my blue check on Instagram, my engagement was low. Like, I'll say my insights, like, probably pushed 100,000. In less than a day after me posting, I had the blue check, my engagement from 100,000 to 1 million, and it stood there for, like, 2 weeks. All because I just got verified up there. And, you know, more celebrities, like big celebrities, start like noticing you. Like B King himself, he had shouted me out on his live. He came down here. We did a show together. He showed me love. And even to this day, like, he treats me as if we knew each other. Like, he called me his twin and everything. Like, that was a big accomplishment to me because of the film fact. He was my idol. He was my inspiration. I wound up, before Juice WRLD passed away, I wound up getting a song with Juice WRLD. I actually still had a song, but I can't drop it because his name cut off some neck. But more celebrities started that I listened to, they started noticing me. And like, if I get on their live, they speak to me, or I was on their live, or they'll call my stuff. It's like, it's so much that will happen with you to have me at one boutique.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, tap in. If you need some kind of promo, if you'd like some exposure, or if you just want some insight, again, Cool Cat, he told you he's not bougie. He's looking to help. Polo Baby. Hey, we also got my man Jonathan. We talked about Jonathan a few weeks ago when we had the leadership from Clubhouse Elites. Tunchi sent the crew over. So we had celebrity hotel concierge, and we had Yanni on. We had Chanel on, and we talked about Jonathan. When we come back after this break, Jonathan's here with us. Listen, he's the rapidest, like, not even Harvard student. He's the rapidest student. And he's no longer a student because he just graduated from Harvard. So I'm going to say the rappingest lawyer I've ever heard in my whole damn life. Polo's still hanging out with us. You are in tune to the Social Lab, TM Hino Radio. It's 9:21. TM Hino Radio. TM Hino Live. TM Hino Live. TM Hino Live. TM Hino Live. Talk Radio Show. TM Hino Live. TM Hino Live. TM Hino Live. Talk Radio Show. Hey, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. Call us up, you know, join the discussion. Hey, at this time, I'm going to bring in the Harvard rapper himself. Hey, hands down, he has won. Jonathan, how many contests have you won on Clubhouse? Welcome to the show, brother.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear my voice?
We can. How many rap battles have you won on Clubhouse already?
Well, it's great to be with you. I'm so excited to be here. Well, you know, it depends who you ask, because officially I've won three. Shout out to Supreme Bars, which is easily my favorite and objectively the best freestyle competition series out of Turkey and arguably the world. But, you know, on that note, I also went to college at Penn. So I would often go to West.
You're going in and out, Jonathan.
What was that?
You're going
Hello?
In and out. Yeah, your connection's
oh.
going in and out.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Fantastic. Yeah, so sorry, as I was saying, I went to college in Philadelphia. So I went into West Philly and used to battle people for practice. So how many have I won unofficially? That's a bit hard to count. Officially, though, I have won three freestyle competitions out of New York City hosted by Supreme Bars. So shout out to everyone from Supreme Fam who's listening right now. This is for you guys.
That's dope.
So yes, officially three times.
That's dope. Congratulations, man. I was actually in the Clubhouse Elites room. Polo, I'm not sure if you were in the room, one Saturday night when you just crushed it, man. It came out of nowhere. Came out of nowhere. Nobody was expecting it and just crushed it. One thing that I love about your strategy is like, you like, give me some words. I wasn't ready for that. Give me some words. And people gave you random words and you used those words and you killed it. Where does that come from, man? I mean, where does that come from?
Thank you, man. Honest. You know, I love doing that kind of thing. I love not just freestyling for people, but having them throw me words to work it in. And there are two reasons why I like it. One of those reasons is because I always like a challenge. I like to be given stuff I've never seen before so that I'm –
Jonathan. We've lost you again there, your connection.
How is this better?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I'm actually out on an island right now, so I'm doing my best. People that I've never faced before. So it helps me to feel more engaged with my craft. The second reason I do it, the second place it comes from, is that it helps me to connect with the audience, because that way they feel involved, right? They feel invested because it gave me, and it proves to them that it's actually live, because, you know, there are a lot of great things about rap music and the history of rap and even what people are doing now. I think there are a lot of MCs who say they're freestyling, and there's no way to actually back that up unless you have people throw words at them on stage that they have to work in, and that's how you know it's actually a freestyle. So those are the two places that it comes from in terms of my motivation. In terms of how I do it, well, it's practice. I read a lot. I've always loved language since I was a kid, and I just think, like, all forms of improvisation are all about how well you study, how well you learn your strategies, you learn the patterns, you build up for it. It's like an investment. It's like a long-term investment. And then when the time comes, you're trained, you know those words, you've encountered them before, and you're ready to go. Like, you don't need to think about it. Your intuitions are already ready to put those words together for you, and you just need to find ways to connect them in ways that make sense and entertain the crowd.
All right, so we're going to try to find a way to connect right now. Hey, Polo, baby.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Polo, let's connect with Jonathan. Let's give Jonathan four words. Give Jonathan four random words, and let's see how well he connects with us tonight.
Okay. Let me see. Okay, one is twerk. Two other words. Elite. Three. Let me see what's the third one. Tunchi and Polo.
All right, so far, what do we have? We have twerk, we have elite, we have Tunchi. What else?
And Polo gonna give me one more.
Oh yeah, I said my name, Polo.
And Polo, there it is.
Okay.
And Polo, ladies and gentlemen, sit back and be entertained by what Jonathan is about to do for us with these four words. Jonathan, we cannot hear you. If you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
He is on an island, ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to be patient because he's tapping in from an island tonight. Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you right now.
Perfect. All right. So to confirm, your four words are twerk, elite, Tunchi, and Polo. Is that right?
That's
correct.
All right, let's do it. Perfect. Let's see. Can you guys hear the beat?
Yes, sir.
So check it. So let them right up on the microphone I'm putting in work. Going berserk. Get people. Clubhouse elite. I get. Always go solo. Unimaginable, so spit it. I rip the flow and I'm ripping and giving you lyrics up in triplets. I always keep on going. Style on the social lab.
Jonathan, we heard the social lab. The connection was going in and out. We know you was killing it, but it was not clear the entire time. But we know you just killed it.
I'll tell you what. I've got a landline here. I'm going to call you guys in from a different number, all right? And that one's going to have the signal, and then you're not going to miss it that time.
Hey, you know what? While you do that, we're going to go ahead and drop Polo Baby's workout one more time, give you an opportunity to redial. And then, folks, you can sit back because we want to make sure you get this whole thing. You're in tune to the Social Lab. Our special guest tonight, Polo Baby, and the Harvard rapper, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
All my big booty hoes, all my little booty hoes, all them throwing back ass hoes, all them bald head hoes, to get your mother to the mother flow. Now look, I done gave y'all left cheek, right cheek, I done gave y'all get it, girl. But guess what? I want you to work out, work out, work out,
work out, hoes.
Radio, Polo Baby, workout. Special guest Jonathan Avery tonight. Hey, hanging out is the Social Lab. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Man, we having a little fun here. We had some technical difficulties prior to workout. But hey, we got Jonathan back dialed in from an island tonight. A Polo, so that we can keep this thing authentic, you come up with one more word. We're going to give Jonathan two additional words just so folks can understand that he does it off the dome. So my word is going to be paralyzed, and you throw another one out there, Polo.
Money.
So, Jonathan, you're there, right?
For sure.
So the words are twerk, elite, tunchi, polo, paralyze, and money. Let's go.
Perfect. Let's do this. All right. Let's see.
and load this beat. Can you guys hear the beat?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Let me do this. Now let's see. When I'm chilling on the mic, I never see the scary eyes. But these rappers battle me, and I'ma leave them paralyzed. I gotta spit it plenty live. Always gotta recognize this a revolution, but this shit will not be televised. Really not funny. It's sweeter than some honey. I gotta spit these lyrics. Give a fuck about the money. I gotta keep on going. I'm climbing, rhyming. Do a shout out for T.M. Hyman. I gotta kill it while I'm wrecking every beat. They know I'll give a shout out to Clubhouse Elite. I gotta do it from me to you. Yours truly. Now I gotta. Shout out for my man named Tucci. That's Xavier. You should know though, I'm rapping solo. I gotta spit it live for my man named Polo. That's Polo Baby. And really, I'll be never so-so. I gotta spit these lyrics, get the picture like a photo. So I'll do these lyrics while I'm putting in work. Going berserk, yeah, I'm simply making them twerk. Plus they know I rap at it. I'm bringing all that magic. I'm ripping and tripping and flipping and giving you lyrical acrobatics. They know I'll keep on going, know I really gotta spit it. With rhymes so explicit and it flows like liquid. Oh, so fab, no, it don't sound drab. And I'm doing freestyles on the social lab.
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, killed it. Dude, hands down, you know what it is. That's a vibe, bro. Every time I've heard it, it's been authentic. I mean, listen, it's a skiff. It's a gift. It's a skill. I just called it a skiff. I just blended skill and gift, but skiff. Hey.
I like that, skiff. I should work that into a freestyle sometime.
A skiff, right? How the hell, how does someone with such a skill walk into a courtroom? I mean, I'm thinking, like, it has to bore the hell out of you to think about going into the courtroom working a case versus being on stage moving a crowd with Polo Baby.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. They're quite different. I'll give you that. It seems on the surface
quite,
like there's not a
different.
Lot in common between going to a courtroom and making a case or an oral argument and getting on stage and rocking the mic for a bunch of strangers. But you know, they actually do have a couple of things in common. I think there's three big things that those two universes have in common for me, and I actually wrote about this in my essay when I applied to law school. So the first one. It's pretty obvious, which is they both involve the use of language. So one of them is about using language in order to speak to people's sense of reason, you know, to affect our institutions, to make arguments on behalf of people. It's logical thinking, but it's also about the use of language to communicate clearly. And maybe that's through prose rather than through poetry, but a lot of the principles of effective communication, I think, are the same, whether you're in the arts or whether you're in a courtroom. And in the same way, music is all about communication. Maybe it's not about conveying logical arguments or facts about the law, but you are communicating your passion, you are communicating your point of view, you are expressing yourself in a way that other people can hopefully relate to. And I think that in both of those cases, you have to be able to think well, you have to be able to speak clearly, you have to be able to know the ways in which language can be used to move people's hearts and minds. Because even the law is not just about logic, it is about making people feel the spirit of justice if it's done right. And that, I think, actually gives it a lot in common with something like music, especially a genre that emphasizes language and poetry. The second thing for me is that, you know, rap has a rich history of confronting bitter truths about society and of being a way for people to stand up for what's right and convey themes of justice to their communities. I mean, you know, I guess it's a little funny for a white guy to be pointing this out, but before I was born, rappers were talking about police brutality, about injustice, poverty, inequality. These are big themes. And I think there are some rappers who rap about those things, and there are rappers who just kind of like to brag, and they're in it for themselves, and it's just about, you know, money or women or whatever. Because like every art form, there are people who want to use it for a higher message, and there are people who just want to have a good time with it and maybe use it for themselves. And law is the same. There are lawyers who go in there just to to get their client off or just to make money for a corporation, but there are also lawyers who go into that courtroom to make the world a different and better place. And so I think that there's a responsibility on creators and lawyers in both of those universes to think about how they want to use their powers. Is it going to be for themselves, or is it going to be for something greater than themselves? And third, lastly, to connect with people. You know, when you're in a courtroom, you are trying to make an impression on the judge, and when you're on stage, you're connecting with hundreds and hundreds of people. But again, those principles are pretty similar. You're reaching out to connect with someone and make them feel something. So I think the use of language, the principle of justice and a higher cause, and communicating with people and creating that bond through words, making people feel something that words themselves can't convey. Those are three things that I actually think really bridge the worlds of law and music.
Yeah, that was well stated, man. I mean, really is in a dynamic way, and wouldn't expect anything else from a young lawyer. But you said something that made me want to pivot to Polo Baby. You mentioned the principles of justice, so automatically think of social justice, think of unrest, I think of the current environment, I think of police brutality, and then I think of Mississippi, and I'm like, ooh. But what I understand is, you know, Jackson, Mississippi specifically is more progressive than one may think. Polo Baby, as a young black artist, entrepreneur, creator, what has been your experience in Jackson, Mississippi, in this current environment? Have you yourself dealt with police brutality? Have you experienced it?
I ain't never experienced no police brutality, but I have experienced like a situation where it was me and my friend was in a car in this city called Ridge. It was like 30 minutes from Jackson. And the police had turned in the store, and we were by the light. And like as soon as we had got ready to leave by the light, he got behind us and stopped us. And he had told us to get out the car. He said it wasn't ready to get out the car. And basically unlawfully searched my friend's car because he said he smelled weed, but neither one of us smoked weed. So, yeah, that's the only time I've really experienced dealing with police.
Yeah, and that seems small, right, folks, specifically if they didn't have weed. But that's not a small situation at all, because the key word that he said was unlawful in my mind. Jonathan, what advice can you give many of us who deal with unlawful searches, right, flat-out racial profile, and it's real, in that instance? What should he have done? What could he have done?
You know, this is a really tough question. And to be totally honest with you, I actually think that it would be less responsible for me to give you advice right off the dome, that isn't specific to the situation that he was facing. You know, sometimes the wisest thing we can do is to know when we don't have the information to give a good answer. And, you know, one of the most important things lawyers can do is to make sure people understand the gravity of legal advice. So I wouldn't want to give any concrete advice right now, because that could be misinterpreted as me giving professional legal advice, and situations are very different from person to person. And besides, because of that, the thing that I say about one case could end up not be applying very well to a different case. So I'm actually going to respectfully resist the urge to weigh in for the sake of not saying something that would actually not be very helpful or that would be misleading. However, there is a lot of information on this online. There are hotlines for this. There are websites devoted to people to figuring out what to do in situations like those. And so if anybody has more specific questions or would like me to redirect them to direct them to some sources where they can get accurate information, I would welcome them to DM me or email me, and I'm happy to send you any information that I think would be useful for your situation. Again, not offering legal advice. I'm happy to just help out by pointing you in the direction of useful data. But, you know, the wisest thing I can do is just help you to find the information rather than giving you any half-informed advice myself.
No, and I actually respect that. And so that being said, Jonathan, why don't you drop your social and let people know how they can contact you?
Sure, of course. Now, let me quickly say, there are some websites out there. For example, the Communities United Against Police Brutality. They have a 24-hour hotline, so if you Google them, you can call them and get information. That's Communities United Against Police Brutality. There's the National Police Accountability Project. That's the NPAP. They also have a website. There's some information on the Justice Department's website. So, you know, you can find this stuff with a Google search. But if anybody's interested in just asking me more or talking about music or anything, you know, my information, my DM is Mr. _ Ivory. So that's M-I-S-T-E-R _ and then my last name. So you're welcome to hit me up on there if you're so inclined.
Thank you so much. So let's bring it back to the creator aspect of what you mentioned as well. So, I mean, we all are creators. I think, you know, when I look at IG, which is necessary for engagement right now, we're all on Clubhouse, and we're trying to figure out this new technology, but ultimately Clubhouse still redirects us back to IG. How important is Instagram for you? Because there's a ton of different social media platforms when it comes to exposure. I mean, Polo Baby's IG is on fire. Clearly, it is a necessary tool for his audience. As Clubhouse evolves, you know, do you guys see yourselves moving your audiences to Clubhouse? Because just like Clubhouse has come, it can go away. What's your strategy for the ever-evolving technology as creators?
Well, I'd love to know what Polo thinks before I weigh in, because he's got a lot more experience in this area than I do.
IG on fire.
Well, I mean, I feel like the goal with Clubhouse is to basically get the audience to maneuver to your Instagram. Reason why, because Clubhouse really, with the pandemic going on, really switched up the game. Like, think about it, you on there with people you have never, ever, you would think you would meet, like A&Rs, people working with big labels, even big artists. So it's like, you know, you go to your rooms, like whether it's a clubhouse release, whether it's a music room, whether it's a social media room, your goal is to, you know, go in there and network with these people so they can go to your Instagram, because right now, like everybody said, Clubhouse is a beta app. So, like, now we as a whole have an advantage where we can get these people to, you know, follow us on Clubhouse, build a following there, while still getting them to go to our Instagram and our Twitter and see what we got going on there. So, and, you know, once the app, like, kind of opens up, you know, you're going to have some of everybody on there now. So now it's like we already 10 steps ahead of people who can't get in the app. And even then, it's like, if you're in a room with these big A&Rs or famous rappers and so, and you tell them, like, oh, you, like with me, why go in a room? I don't even tell them I'm verified. I just be like, oh, I'm an artist out of Mississippi. You know, I'm working on this song, pushing. Because right. At the end of the day, when they click my Instagram page, they're going to automatically blue check anyway. So I don't see a point of me telling you that I'm verified,
right.
Because you're going to automatically check anyway. Because if you're interested, you're interested. That's not me going to the room and be like, oh, you know, I'm a verified artist. They're going to automatically want people to go. They're going to automatically have people go to your page anyway. But I'd rather see you going to go and check it out for yourself versus me telling you. Like, with Workout, I was in a music room with Lil Mama, this A&R who from Interscope, and I played Workout for them. And the crazy thing is, Lil Mama knew my song, but she didn't know my Instagram. So, boom, because of that, her, along with some more famous rappers and some more execs, they followed me. They tapped in with me. You know, now my songs are in hands of people who could want to sign me in a given time. So that's why,
right.
You know, is you got to encourage these people like, to get on Clubhouse. You got to get on Clubhouse. Don't be afraid to speak, because you never know who you're in the room in. And you got to make sure your Instagram is up to par, because I tell people all the time, this is one thing my sister Santana put in my head. Your Instagram is your resume. Whether you are an artist, an entrepreneur, you sell clothes, you sell hair, if you are a street pharmacy, all it. You got to make sure that your Instagram shows that, you know, I can't like for instance, you can't go, I can't get on here and tell you, oh, I'm Polo Baby and I'm an artist, this, that, and the third, and then you go to my Instagram from Clubhouse and I ain't got no links. I ain't got nothing proven that I'm a rapper. You just see somebody with
a
lot of followers, like, okay, he ain't got nothing to... Right, you feel me? So it's like, you got to make sure your Instagram is like a face card and it's like a your application. Because one thing about labels and anybody else, they look at it like the first impression, which is why me personally, I had to clean my Instagram up. So now when labels go on there, they can be like, okay, this is him. Oh, his bio says from Jackson, Mississippi. The song he puts in his bio, he got all the shows. He got the highlights going with each song he had before this song. He got all these performances. Like, all that play a role into why they go to your page to follow you from Clubhouse.
Yeah. And so what it sounds like, folks, thanks for sharing those jewels right there, because what I got out of it is IG is relevant. IG is relevant for what we're doing and the support of the strategy. Jonathan, want to hear from you. But ladies and gentlemen, just want to let you know, if you are just tuning in or you caught this show halfway through, go back. Listen, the full show will be available about 25 minutes after we end at 10. Check out this entire podcast. Very interesting conversation here. And there's an Amber Alert going on right in my ear. I don't know if you all can hear it if you're here in Atlanta. It is 9:51. Jonathan Avery, Polo Baby, TM Hyman. Jonathan, what's your response to technology and your strategy for the future?
You know, this is something that I'm actually still thinking through. I'm trying to get more of a systematic process to it, and so it's really interesting to hear Polo's perspective on this. I will say, you know, I started out actually, like when I was in high school, people were on Facebook, and Facebook was actually still pretty active for me when I was in college. It was actually at the end of college for me that Instagram really started blowing up, so I was not that active on Instagram at first. And in fact, up until just a couple of months ago, I still wasn't using Instagram that much. And that's partly because even though I recognize how useful it is for artists who are pursuing their music full-time, I hadn't been pursuing my music full-time. I had been in law school, and I'd been working before that. And during the pandemic, I mean, Paul is so right. The pandemic has just changed everything. And among the even more significant ways in which it is upended our ordinary ways of doing things, it has also changed life for artists and musicians. It's changed the way we use apps. It has created an opportunity for apps like Clubhouse to become even more influential because people are at home and they're looking to connect with people and have ways of coming together that maybe don't require seeing each other in person. So I actually think, in terms of the timing, things couldn't have worked out better for an app like Clubhouse. And in my experience, well, it's been really helpful because my Instagram has also been like blowing up since I started using Clubhouse. And I'm very thankful for all the love I've been getting on there. I mean, basically what happened is I had been talking to my friends about the possibility of taking rap, you know, seriously, maybe trying to go pro. And they told me about Clubhouse, and were like, you should get on there. So one of my friends gave me an invite, and it was just kind of interesting at first, and I started going around finding music groups, and I had this idea. I was like, why not just put myself out there, introduce myself to people, tell them who I am, what I'm about, freestyle for them, and it went really well. And I started getting a lot of positive feedback, and people started following me on Clubhouse. They started following me on Instagram as well because my Instagram was linked in there. And ever since Clubhouse, I've just been getting a lot more traffic on social media. In fact, more than I know what to do with. I mean, it's definitely not like influencer status or anything like that, not by a long shot. And I'm just thankful that people have been, you know, so interested in staying in touch and asking for more about my music. But it's just such a scale up from what I'm used to that I'm still kind of getting the hang of it. My Instagram is a personal page, and I'm thinking of maybe starting an actual music page because I believe Polo is absolutely right when he says that Instagram is your resume. And at first, I wasn't really sure if I wanted to go pro, but now it seems like the social media is making that decision for me. And maybe it's time for me to kind of up my game, and that means giving my online resume an update as well. So Clubhouse has been really useful for getting me more active on Instagram, even though I was on Instagram earlier, because Clubhouse is such a great place for artists to come together and share their music with people, and I'm hoping that I can get more, you know, active on Instagram as well as a way of actually following up with people and having that sustained contact once I put myself out there on Clubhouse.
Jonathan, you are talking to folks about music. You have already gone pro, my friend. You have people listening to you in Baghdad right now. I have listeners in Poland. You have gone pro, so you need to turn that personal page into a business page real fast, buddy, or start that new account real fast. And, because Polo just told us, I mean, at the end of the day, and you repeated it, and I wrote it down, IG is your resume. Can I ask, did either one of you ever struggle with fear or stage fright? And if so, how did you overcome it? For artists who are listening right now who may be struggling with, you know, just overcoming their fear, but they're dynamic. Got skills, got talent, even got a vibe. But that vibe is only in the shower or in the bathroom with the door shut. How do they
you know, it's so interesting you ask that. If you don't mind if I take this real quick. This is a topic I'm really passionate about, and I actually addressed this a little bit in one of my TED Talks on freestyle and the psychology of improvisation, because a big problem is that a lot of people get on stage, and they expect that they're supposed to do this, like, magic trick where they just generate words out of nowhere for an audience of skeptical listeners, and that is a huge problem for musicians. So I've been thinking about this. And it started with the talk, but I've continued to reflect on it and what it's like. And I'm actually thinking of and have started to draft an instructional handbook for people who are interested in getting better at public speaking. And, you know, I could talk about this for hours, and I really want to hear what Polo has to say. So I guess I just boil it down to two or three basic tips. One, I think a big problem for musicians and for anybody on stage, really, is that they think that everyone is there to judge them and pick them apart and scrutinize them, and that's just not the case. I mean, I get it. You know, there is something very naturally intimidating about the environment of being on stage. Think about when you're hanging out with people and just making conversation, right? You're all kind of flowing around the room together. People are not that far apart, but not that close to each other. It's natural. But when you're on stage, there's this very fine division between you and your audience. There's that whole crowd of people out there. It's a sea of faces, if you can even see them. And then there's you, alone, on the other hemisphere of the room. And you're standing there in the spotlight, addressing the void. And that's pretty scary. And you imagine that all those people out there are like a pack of wolves waiting to tear me up. And I think it's really important for people to remember they're not there to tear you up or to tear you down. They're there because they think you have something interesting to share with them. And so I think that, one, remembering that the audience doesn't have power over you, you actually have some power over them. That's a useful way for people to remember to empower themselves and have and reframe their relationship to the people that they're speaking to. And the second, connected to that, you know, it's not about me. It's about the music, and it's about interesting rhymes and freestyling. And there's a quote I really like by an author named David Foster Wallace, when he says, "You'll stop worrying what people think of you when you realize how little they do." And I think it's so true. And so when musicians get worried on stage, just remind yourself, it isn't about you. Like, you don't matter that much. What matters is the music, and you're here as a vessel to share something you love with people. And when you reframe it so that it's about your passion and sharing something that matters to you, that's a part of you and that's bigger than you, rather than it just being about you and how you look and how you sound, I think that helps people to get out of their own heads and get out of their way and let that sense of inspiration take over instead. You still there?
Thank you, Jonathan. Polo, baby, we're going to drop the liner at the end of the show. We're going to go into overdrive. So go ahead and chime in.
Okay, man. Well, I'll say one thing about stage fright is I know folks that everybody gets it. So, like, my first time performing, I was in high school. I was 17, my senior year. And you get in front of like a crowd, like you freeze up. But why I say one thing you do first before you get out there on stage is pray. Pray and then
pray.
Like
hey Polo baby, hold on 1 minute, bro. Hold on 1 minute.
CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk.
We in overdrive right now with Polo Baby and Jonathan Ervery. We're talking about music tonight. Where we left off was talking about artists who may be shy. You're talented, you're lit, you even got a vibe, but only the bathroom and the mirror know about it. Polo Baby ended with the first thing you do is you got to pray. But go ahead, Polo Baby.
Yeah, like I was saying, the first thing you do is pray. Then it's like, when you get on the stage, you got to basically picture yourself in that mirror. Picture yourself like in that dream you had of being on stage in front of somebody. Picture yourself as that person who already made it. So it's like, whether you get a bad, where you feel like you're finna get a bad reaction, or you feel like you finna get a good reaction, give your best show as if you was the only person in your room, in that mirror, practicing. And I promise you, see me, I close my eyes for a minute if I go to stay. I ain't gonna lie. Then it's like, after a while, like I said, I visualize myself in my room practicing with the remote. And then,
right.
You know, once you saw, like, because when you close your eyes, like, you feeling yourself. So when I open my eyes, now I'm in that mode to where it's like, okay, I can do this. And like I said, my first show was my talent show. I'm not going to even lie. In high school, I wasn't the most popular person. But I had a song, my very first song, that wasn't even a twerk, it was like a little love song, but it had a nice beat to it. And it was catchy to the point where when I performed, the people in the audience were singing the song word for word. And it blew my mind because, like, you know, like I said, it was my very first song. I didn't know people even listen to the song, but they knew every word, so that, like, I felt more comfortable singing the song and hearing my school singing this song, even the teachers and everything, singing this one song. So it's like every time I do a show, I reflect back on that day of the time of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing Jonathan said was you have to, one, he gave a quote, and my takeaway from the quote, I didn't write the person's name down quick enough, Jonathan, but you said, you know, we think people are focused on us, but they aren't really thinking about us at all. That's the one thing that we have to really embrace. Get out of your own head, get out of your own mind, pray, close your eyes even, right? Imagine that you are in the shower, but you're in front of people. But folks, you know, it's about your attitude first and foremost. You know, the one thing that I really respect about the both of you guys, which is why I had to have you on the show. I mean, we're in these rooms with hundreds of people, sometimes thousands of people, you know, but people still stick out based on their attitude, based on the value. We say, are you bringing value to the room? Polo, one thing that I think you're doing for a lot of people, bro, you said that you weren't the most popular. A lot of us may not have been the most popular, but you still figured out a way to stand out through your own, through your passion, through being who you are authentically. Jonathan, you know, you may be I don't know whether you're a lawyer by nature, if it's innate to just be a lawyer, or if it's innate just to be a rapper or both. But still, you said it. You made up your mind that you wanted to pursue this, and clearly you have a passion for it. So what advice, as we wrap this up, guys, and thank you for your time, as we wrap this up, what's the number one piece of advice that you would give someone who's trying to break in today?
Polo, go for it.
Don't be afraid to be yourself. That's one thing I feel like everybody needs to have in their mind. It's nothing wrong with being yourself. If you are already trying to break into the industry, remember, you ain't gotta be on what Youngboy on. You ain't gotta be on what Wayne, Migos, anybody else was on. Everybody ain't meant to be a trapper. Everybody ain't meant to be this drill rapper. Find your niche and stick to it.
Yeah, I like that advice. And if I can offer a parallel perspective, I would say, in addition to being yourself, you know, actually, there's another quote I really like, which is, be yourself, everybody else is already taken, which I've always thought was a good quote to live my life by. And I think that in addition to being yourself, I find it useful, you know, ask yourself why. Why am I doing this? Like, when I'm about to get on stage, why am I addressing these people? If I want to do music, why am I trying to do music? And I think that, you know, knowing what your why is, knowing what that purpose is that makes you want to do this thing and makes you get up in the morning and start your day, it doesn't need to be some grand thing like changing the world. It can be, why am I doing it? Because I love it, because it's fun, because I want to make cool shit to make, you know, bang their heads to. But just knowing what that purpose is and reminding yourself of it when you start to doubt yourself or when it feels hard, that can help give you courage, and it's given me courage, and it's helped me to find other people who are about the same things that I'm about. So I really think it's true. You got to be true to yourself and know who you are, and that one way of doing that and reminding yourself when it gets tough is to ask yourself why, and let that sense, that the answer to that why question, guide you as you make those choices.
Guys, I mean, you both have dropped dynamic jewels tonight. The conversation has been great. Again, thank you. Much success to both of you. Jonathan, looking forward to, and I'm sure both of you are going to be at the cookout in June, right, with the Elite. So looking forward to actually putting faces to the voices soon. Hopefully when we all can come outside. You know, clearly we wide open here in Atlanta. Everybody's outside. But when you all feel comfortable, and hopefully that'll be soon, we'll be able to come together. Polo Baby, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Avery, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. And we're going to end this thing with a workout, Hope. Hey, guys, you're family to the show. You're welcome back anytime. Hey, we're back on Monday. On Monday, we got Rocky. Rocky's a dynamic R&B and pop artist. We'll talk to you Monday 9 p.m. Good night, everybody.
To get your motherfucker to the motherfucker. Now, look, I done gave y'all left cheek, right cheek. I done gave y'all get it, girl. But guess what? I want you to work out, work out, work out.
Work out, ho. 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 Go on and show me what you know. Now, drop it, hold up. Hold on, don't start rocking now. Work, twerk, work, twerk. Work out, work out, ho. 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 Go on and show me what you know. Now, drop it, hold on, drop it, hold on. Don't start rocking now. Work, twerk, work, twerk. Work out, work out, ho. Shake that ass, 40 cash. I'm in the party, so I'm popping bands. I'm popping bottles with some models. We wanna turn the yellow throttle. She think it's poop right around, she go, it's bad, I win this city. Booty bound like a trampoline, it's a move, I step on the scene. Bad of the poop, dang Coco, Cali in the party and we wildin'. Now, pop that fucking poop, and throw that fucking air. Cause I got lots of cash, and them bands to make her, then I gonna shake that air. Now let me see what you got, now throw that air. Hey, little baby, give me them gas. I told her, pop it, now drop it, hold on, don't start rocking now. Work, yo, work, hold on, work out, work out, work out.
See him, see him, I'm alive. 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 See him, see him, I'm alive.